Going to go ahead and reconvene. Move on to our next item. Again, this is item 3.1, so we will go to staff and Bryn for their presentation on this item.
Hold on. There we go. Now I know the magical way. All right, so 3.1 and 3.2, we'll kind of talk about separately and yet together. So 3.1 is a rezone for approximately 370 acres. The property is currently A1. The original request was to rezone it R115, which is a density of about 3 units per acre. The applicant has indicated that they would be willing to do, let me go to the map here, a portion of the property, about 67 acres, on the west side, R121, which would allow animal rights. It allows the same animal rights as the agricultural zones, so it allows the family food production and horses and larger animals on the larger lots. So that's a change that they have made to their plan. Let me go back to the general plan for a second. Again, this is the general plan that was adopted on the property. You can kind of see the general range of units there that would be allowed on in that area. So they've also submitted an application for I'll go through both of them at the same time, for a planned development overlay zone to be placed on the property as well. This is our new process where the PUD is now an overlay zone and not a conditional use. So they you do the base zoning, the R115, which establishes the density. The planned development overlay zone on top of that allows them to cluster the density, move the density around. It also allows them to vary the lot sizes and also requires the open space, which is the open space that would be dedicated, most of that, to the city. So the planned development overlay zone requires a site plan be approved as part of that, which is here. Again, these are legislative decisions, so on the rezone and the PUD overlay zone, those are both recommendations that you make to the city council. You've had public hearings on both of these. The applicant has had more than one neighborhood meeting with the residents and gotten feedback from them. They've also talked to the city council a couple times in their work meeting, just getting different feedback from them. There's also a development agreement, again, that you've seen the draft of that would be approved as part of this project. So this is the site plan. Again, that shows they're proposing two schools here. You can see the different densities. They have added minimum lot sizes in each of the pods, which is one of the things we talked about at the last meeting. So the density is based on kind of three different things. There's an overall density for the entire project, which is 1021, 1,021 units overall. Each pod has a maximum density they can go to, so they can, move it around a little bit as they lay out the exact layout of each pod, but they can't exceed the maximum in each pod. And then there's also the minimum lot size that restricts it, so they couldn't cluster too much again and make those lots any smaller than what the minimum shows. There's quite a bit of open spaces. Again, you can see the channel runs through there. We did talk last time about the floodplain issues. We have dealt with that in the proposed requirements, in the PUD requirements, and also in the development agreement. It talks about when they will need to do a CLOMAR and a LOMAR and do some FEMA adjustments with Salt Lake County and FEMA to that floodplain and how that counts as open space. This is just the summary larger, so you can actually read it. Again, the amenities, and we can have the applicant go through all of this. That's probably all I'll show you, and then we can kind of have the applicant explain some of the more details of the plan. So again, two different applications, two different recommendations you're making. The base zone, the R115 and the R121, and then the PUD overlay zone, which has this site plan attached. I will just mention, they have chosen not to do extensive design guidelines and meet our criteria. So they would meet our criteria for the look. If you remember, we modified our single family design criteria to include townhomes. So whether they had single family or townhomes, they would meet those criteria. They would meet the parking criteria as well. So they're not, didn't do any special exceptions for those. Any questions for me?
So, Bryn, in the work meeting, how I was talking about the townhomes?
Yes.
Okay, so in the neighborhood meeting minutes, it talks about the townhomes. And then in the same meeting minutes, it talks about the Danzy family doesn't want high-density development in this area, even though townhouses are needed to balance out the total average. So is that in a separate area that they're talking about then?
You know, I wasn't at the meeting, so I can't tell you what their intent of that was. My assumption is that, and again, maybe they can answer that they were there. My assumption is that they were saying there was a small area of townhomes to help balance out the density. But in general, we're not talking about a high density project. That's what I would, and Sandra was there. It sounds like that's probably accurate.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any additional questions for Bryn before we move to our applicant?
Just on the next page, Bryn.
Yes.
Just to clarify what it means with asterisks with the schools, if you don't mind. So will this takes if they're developed as schools, that density is completely taken out of it, is that correct?
Right, there is no density for the schools and there's no open space for the schools, so that total is assuming that those are schools there. We did show a density number there again, so if for some reason they don't sell to the schools, or the schools sometimes take property and then 10 years later they don't build the schools, then there would be some density that would be allowed to be there in that case.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So it's 339.39 acres, in essence, with the schools removed.
Correct.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions for Bryn at this time? Okay, seeing none, if the applicant would like to come forward.
We thought since it's late, we'll have a little fun with you guys tonight and kind of do this in a tag team if it's helpful, because that way we can answer some questions. My name's Loyal Hume, Curtin McConkie, counsel for the applicant.
And I'm Tim Silver with Think Architecture.
What we thought we'd do first, if it's okay, we're sensitive. First of all, we appreciate the time that you've all spent, and we have spent countless hours with your staff, and quite frankly, your staff has been super aggressive and really anxious to meet the needs of the citizens. And so we've literally since about June been working on these applications with them and have taken those suggestions and the suggestions of many neighbors and the city council and others. What we thought we'd do first tonight is review the 13 items that you ask us to come back with. We think we've addressed each one, and we're anxious to make sure that we've met what your hope is and that we have addressed them in a way that's adequate for you. The first one is the open space of 20%. You said you can't include anything unbuildable, including the floodplain constraints. I'm going to, if it's okay, deal with item one and two together. You also talked about a Clomar-Lomar issue that came up, and these are kind of the same issue. And the great news that we have been able to work through with your staff, and this is articulated in the development agreement, is that we would take the risk of any of the Clomar or open space issues. Let me explain what that means. That means that we will be working to modify the floodplain. There's a process you go through, and working with FEMA to do that. If in fact we're unable to get that, then that limits the number of units that we can put in that particular pot. So that helps you, resolves that concern. We'll be working with them. We get the flexibility to do what we can with them, but that protects the city. And the same with the open space. Under your PUD ordinance, as you know, we're required to keep a 20% open space. We'll have to comply with that. If any of those are impacted, we'll have to modify it, and that too can be adjusted. So hopefully that's helpful. Again, I think Bryn did a wonderful job of explaining some key components that this group articulated last time, which is we want to see a minimum lot size in each pod, we want to see a range in each pod, and we want to see how much you can move between pods if there's an issue like Clomar or wetlands or whatever. And we've dealt with all of those. And in each particular pod, you'll see articulated in each one those ranges for you so that's taken care of. The next issue we brought up was contaminated soils. How do we deal with that? What happens if there's contamination from the old Kennecott and other things? Same sort of issue. If we come across contaminated soils as we do those studies, then we obviously have to mitigate those. We have to go through the process to deal with DEQ and comply with their requirements as well as any state or any federal requirements to deal with that. And of course, we certainly can't build on it unless those have been remediated appropriately. So they're dealt with in the same way. The next question this group had was with regard to the water modeling. Two real issues we understood there. One is that you wanted us to put in dry pipes, meaning that you could have secondary, which is, we thought, a thoughtful and good thing, which we'd like to have, and we've agreed to do that. The second is that in the far western, northwestern portion of the property, there's some area where the water pressure may be lacking. We've agreed that until that pressure is at capacity or can meet the city requirements, you could condition it so that we wouldn't be able to develop in that area until we can meet those requirements. So again, a thoughtful and good discussion. A traffic study included in your information is the traffic information and is determined to be acceptable at this point. In addition, however, as noted in the development agreement and as noted by your good staff, we will have to come in and provide updates to that traffic study and show that we're meeting your requirements with each pod and through that process. So that deals with your traffic issues. There's an issue about the location of the townhomes, and we're sensitive to this. Number one, the townhomes proposed here you've never seen in Harriman. So I know there's been some concern about townhomes, and we get that. This particular product has never been here. It's a larger product. It's a much more expensive product. But one of the questions dealt with the location of the townhomes. So we've spent some significant time on that. If we could pull that up, Bryn, you'll notice where the location was. There was some discussions last time that we re-examined the location of those, and we did extensively with your staff, with members of council, others. And the idea was to maybe, is there a chance to move that back? Bryn, back to, yeah, that's great. That one would be great. The thought was maybe we could move them to the north on the other side of the ravine. Well, one of the things that's probably not as easily determined here, but if you look at that gray line that's kind of on the southern end of the yellow portion of the townhome section, that is a significant slope. If we leave the townhomes here, again, this nicer product that you don't have in Harriman right now, but if we leave them here, they're basically hidden. You basically put them down on a shelf and they're not very visible. And we can do some buffering. And so alternatively, if we move them across the ravine, they'll be very prominent. They'll sit up on a point. We think, frankly, for everyone, it's better to leave them there. So that's what we're proposed to you tonight to consider. Again, after extensive studies, visits with your staff, visit with members of council, that's been our recommendation. Now, there was a question last time about a connection to the soccer park. As you'll recall, one of the marvelous features of this development is we take the natural ravine that exists, we accentuate it. We put a state-of-the-art, wonderful park and trail system through there, and that we make this a regional draw for you. And in studying the connection between the soccer park and that, the topography would be difficult there. And so that issue we went through extensively, tried to determine if it was practicable, but we felt like it wasn't. However, one of the things that you will really appreciate, we think, is that about halfway through, if you look where 7300 goes there, there will be just in that area a new horse trail that we've added in addition, and it's actually, Tim carefully points out to me, it's actually a little bit further to the east, and that horse trail will start. There'll be a parking area there where you can park horse trailers, and so in addition to the running feature, the long two-mile park, portion of that will be horse trail that can now go up into those beautiful canyons further to the west. And in addition, as noted by Bryn, the R21 allows for a large number now of acres of horse property, animal rights, larger lots, all those kinds of things which were requested by you as well as citizens. And so we've really made a significant concession to do that. You asked for some more details on the amenities, and so we've talked about that a little bit in your packet, as well as that trail system that we discussed. I don't know, Tim, do you have any additions to that?
You're doing great.
The design criteria and setbacks, again, those design, as we talked about, we've agreed to meet the city requirements. So we're not asking for exceptions to that, and those are in your packets as well. We've met extensively with citizens. We're anxious to help meet the needs of those, especially that are adjacent to or could be impacted more directly by this development. And so we've agreed to a variety of different types of buffering, whether it be landscaping, larger lots along areas where people have larger lots, fencing, those kinds of things. And so we're happy to do that. Again, you talked about the larger lots, and we've talked about that would be on the western side. And then finally, item number 12 that you asked us to deal with was providing access on the south side of the road. And as you can see from the designs, that's been provided. So we thought it would be helpful. Obviously, your issues and the things you ask us to do should probably be on the top of your mind. And we've tried to address each one of those for you tonight with the hope that that you'd move forward and pass this tonight. I will yield the floor to Tim. Correct anything, fix anything.
I'll just trade your places. Thank you for your time and patience. May I just start off by being grateful? I had to admit, this is a new experience to have neighborhood meetings before coming to planning commissions. I wondered about that when we started. I will be the first one to admit that I was pleasantly surprised. Those meetings turned out not to be divisive. They turned out to be very constructive. We've had two. We will have another one. But they allowed us to explain things that others misunderstood or that we needed to make more clear. And so they were very, very helpful. So in terms of staff and so forth, I think it's very additive to the process because it gives us an opportunity to explain to our neighbors what we're talking about when sometimes the misknowledge overshadows the practical knowledge. So I have to applaud the effort of the city to go in that direction. May I just start with the staff report to begin with, and hopefully I'm going to talk about the things that are important for you to consider. I want you to be very understanding of our two zones. The darker brown is the R121 zone, which has an underlying density of no greater than 2 units per acre. There's 67 acres in that zone. The one further to the east is the R115 zone, which has a maximum density of 2.9. So in any case, and under any scenario, we're not allowed to breach those limits. When we talk about the total number of units, the 1021 as it shows on the plan, that is just a bit under that threshold that is created by the underlying zones. The PUD allows us to move them around a bit, but we've specified the limits and where we can move them and to what extent the minimums would be. I want to explain just a little bit about minimums. Some may look at, and this came up in our neighborhood meetings, some may look at that, the minimum number in a pod and say, oh my goodness, those are all going to be this. No, that's the minimum. They can't be less. In many, many instances, you never average a minimum number when you're laying a subdivision out. It just established you can't go lower than this. You can always go higher, and you always do in laying them out. So I wanted to make that clear on our zoning, on our density. One of the things I failed to mention, we have two of our experts here with us. Ryan, could you stand up? Sorry, this is Ryan Hales from Hales Engineering, who's done our traffic study and analysis. And Ryan's available for questions, if you have questions for him. And then Thomas Romney from Focus Engineering. Tom has a lot of experience since he started about 4 years ago with us on some of the floodplain issues, and actually started the CLOMAR process in analyzing the water coming onto the site a long time ago, and we continue today. Do you have any questions about what we mean by CLOMAR or floodplain issues? Are there any questions? We understand that. I think Loyal's done a masterful job in writing the verbiage that basically says, unless we transfer it out of the floodplain, we can't use it. Unless we get the necessary approvals from FEMA and Salt Lake County, we can't count it and can't develop it. So I think it's conditioned, and I gotta say, Bryn, this is a great staff report. It's understandable, it's complete, every item is addressed. I know what the rules are going in. All I have to do is achieve them. But if we can go on to that slide that shows that one right there. Can you see that one okay? The yellow part of our map, the townhome area, is depicted by these rooftops down here. Main Street is up on your far right-hand side. The top line up there is Harriman Main Street. That's the level of Harriman Main Street. We picked that particular pod to put our townhomes in because we thought that is the best way we could be the best neighbor to our neighbors. We are going to lower the level from its grade now so that the tops of the units that we develop are lower than the level of Main Street. So we're gonna tuck them down in. Has any of you been to Richard Danzi's house? You go down that steep driveway where we're below where his house is, even lower than that. That's the pad that we're creating for these townhomes. So our neighbors across the street to the south will never see them. We have Harriman Main Street as a buffer element. We'll access there, but we won't put houses on that level, townhomes on that level. Loyal mentioned this, but our idea of townhomes are not what you've been seeing in and around the area. We wanted a different type and style and upgrade of those townhomes. Our density reflects it, but we wanted to create this environment to where they shared the park, they didn't share a neighborhood. We created our own environment with our own townhomes. And Jessica, if I might address that comment that you were addressing as far as the meetings. Mm-hmm. Loyal and I were both there. The comment was made, well, your townhomes, are they going to be like the ones just east of the high school? Those very tall four-story buildings. And we reiterated to them, no, those are apartments. We're not doing any apartments. That density is much, much greater than what we're proposing here. So no, we're not doing that kind of high density. We have this section of townhomes, but it's literally a third of that density over there or less. So that's the discrepancy. They were asking about that high density as compared to what we were proposing, and we explained the difference. Okay. So that's the difference in the notes. So with this diagram, and then can we go, Bryn, to, this is our fencing diagram. I wanted to talk about this trail. And make it relative to your plan. One of the things that staff was very stern about is, we didn't have horses on our trails. The trail coming into us on the east doesn't have horses, so we didn't continue horses as a two-trail system. Considering what we're abutting to on the west, and in that we made the concession to have the R121 area, we thought it would be a natural. So we modified our park to have a trailhead that accommodates trailer traffic so people could bring in animals, offload in the park, and use this two-trail system which is basically from, well, it's three quarters of the property will have this two trail system that will then plan to go further west into the canyons. So we think that's a, we think that's an additive element that we didn't have before. Many of the items that we that Loyal suggested and that we modified came directly from public input and from you. So we had a chance to go through this with a fine tooth comb. I'm very happy to be here because it represents a lot of the work that we had to catch up on and did. hopefully it's we've worked hard on it. Hopefully that's at an end, at least at this point. But we're happy to present it to you because I think we've complied in every regard. The neighborhood concerns, your concerns, I think our development agreement addresses each and every one. And then this very complete staff report, which is very explanatory and really sets it forth without anything being missed. I think we're in really good shape to ask for your approval tonight. Questions?
Tim, would you go back to the, or Bryn, go back to the map that shows really just kind of the overall design, especially looking at the area. Go back to the one that has the square, the minimums on it.
The pods plan?
That one.
Yes. Now, and I didn't get it written down in quick time. You made a mention of what the minimum density or maximum density would be over in the R121. What did you say for that area?
The R121, that darker brown area, is the maximum of 2 units per acre.
Okay.
And the and adjacent to it, going to the east, the maximum density in a R115 is 2.9. When you blend the two over the whole project, you end up at where we are, 2.75.
Okay, so on this particular map in front of us under pod 15, it has 29.23 acres and it has a max of 4 dwelling units per acre.
Right.
Help me understand what that is denoting then based on your previous comment.
Sure. And I don't want you to misinterpret that. That is our gated community area. It's our senior gated community area. It's not attached. It's single family of various. It won't even have a lot size because it's developed more as a PUD. So there isn't lot size, and it's capable of 4, but if it goes to 4, the rest of the property has to compensate, so the whole area can't be more than 2.
So everything in pod 14 will be bigger?
Correct.
It'll be larger lots to,
correct.
To average.
In which pod, sorry?
14. In 14. So it has 14. To be the area within the R121 area.
So then, correct me if I'm wrong, pod 15 is planned to be your senior gated area,
mm-hmm.
but that is in the R121 area, which
has
animal rights, but we know we're not going to see any of those animal rights utilized in this area. Is that correct?
Right. And probably what happens, Clint, is if we got up to 3 or 3.5 units per acre in pod 15, you make up the difference in pod 14. That's when you start to get the larger lots that can hold animals. It's where you'll start to get the half acres and things like that.
And you just brought up my next really question is what I'm seeing there on pod 14 that it has a minimum of 8,000 square foot per lot, correct?
Right.
And of course, I don't believe that that's near big enough to be able to house any animals. So if we're in a zone that's R121 that allows that, 2 points really. One, I appreciate the fact that that was put in there. Certainly to help preserve, especially out in this area, which is known for animal in the past. But we have it in an area where we're going to have some senior housing, which we know there's not going to be any animals associated with it. So I'd much rather see that zoning in an area that really has the ability for people to utilize that. But two, the fact that our minimums, and I understand how there's going to be shifts in density to allow bigger lots, but even to have the R121 that brings those animal rights in, I think a minimum of an 8,000 square foot lot is too small to really foster an environment that's going to allow to take advantage of those animal rights.
And the reasoning is this, Clint, it only says 8,000 because that's what the zone says. The R121 zone says that the minimum lot size is 8,000. Now, to yield 2 units per acre, you know that you're not going to have many 8,000s.
And I hear that, and to echo what Clint's saying, is I think one thing I saw across all of the plan is, to be honest, I was expecting the minimum to be a little bit larger. I know what our zone says, but you're going for something different than our zone. You're going for a PUD. And to put the tighter constraint, you know, I wanted to actually thank you. You've given us enough to me that we can now just focus on density.
Right.
And that's kind of, that usually takes us about 10 meetings in order to do that. But you've given us enough that we can go straight to that. But what's concerning, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way,
sure,
is that you're focusing so many on, even on the smaller size density, I'm seeing so many small lots that I don't really see the advantage of the pod. And so what I'm struggling for me to see is it feels like there's lots of little pockets of so much flexibility that I don't really understand the intent of what you're trying to go for.
Let me try to explain it, and please, Loyal's a much better speaker than I am. But the whole idea of this plan from its inception is we wanted a very upscale, largely single-family development. We wanted a varied amount of lot sizes. I don't want you to get too misdirected by the minimums. At 2.75, we have a lot of flexibility to move things around. We want to respond to the market. Up by the schools, they have told us that the lot size that generates the most kids are 6,000 square foot lots. So they wanted to be clustered in that area where there are 6,000s. In pod 4, you'll notice that we're at 5,000. I don't expect a lot of fives in that pod. It's just a minimum. Can't go less. But the average densities don't get close to the minimums when you lay them out. We want to sell upscale homes from this price range to this price range.
And that makes sense. And I guess going back to Clint's point, I really think pod 15, what the use that you're proposing in pod 15 is probably not in the right spot.
Okay. Where would you put it, Adam?
In my mind, what I had envisioned, and I understand actually now that you've expressed where you want to put the townhomes, why the desire to keep pod 18 there. I think my bigger concern that I have is down by pod 3 and 4 and 5, there really is no buffer around something that probably will never develop. So the land that's not yours, the odd-shaped flag lot-looking thing.
We call it the L.
I think we need to buffer that, but I honestly think your description of what you're proposing would be closer to pod 4, the senior area, or flop 4 and 18. I don't know.
Yeah.
When we said we wanted to move the higher density to the north, the intent is this area, and you're even proposing it with equestrian use on your trail, it needs to feel equestrian use. It needs to feel larger. And I get that that's what you're saying, but this plan is showing me the exact opposite. Your minimums are showing me the wrong direction. And so I think the intent of what you're trying to shoot for with pod 14 mimicked on pod 15 and 16 would make me more comfortable making bigger lots in that region.
Let me
go ahead.
I'm trying to understand and talk to you about this.
But I think you're more in the 10,000 square foot range for my, what I was, to be honest, you kind of, before we got to see these max densities, I was envisioning when you were saying more estate lots, truly more animal use type lots.
I get it. And in fact, our previous plan that didn't have the R121, the average or the minimum lot size in that whole area up there on top was 10 to 12 as minimums.
And that's kind of what I'm what I'm expecting to see.
I only put the 8 on because that's what R121 said was the...
That's fair, and I understand that. But I think, and then with also your clarifying what plot 15 is, I still, in my mind, am thinking it's similar to what you're describing.
Now, Clint raises a very good point about, you know, and it's because of the nature of that bottom ground. It's absolutely secluded and quiet, and it's a wonderful environment. And that's why we thought about it for that kind of quiet, gated community. Acknowledge they're probably not going to have animals in a zone like that. But Adam, you just pointed out some of this area down by Pod 5, down in that bottom ground, it's the same aspect down
there. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Some of this could be shared down there, too.
And I don't know how the rest of the Planning Commission feels, but I kind of am envisioning all the R121 stuff is more traditional, larger lots with typical farm country feel, like the Danzies have had for a long time, to be honest.
Yeah.
The other stuff, I think the transition, there's a lot of logical transitions to put those uses in 5, 4, and 18 while still maintaining a good buffer around the flag area. But I think that's the feel that we need to try and do, is push that down and then really delineate your zones of, you know what, in this area we're going to focus on 4,000 square foot lots, but in this area we'll probably focus a little more on 6,000 square foot lots. I know what that means. It just means that the rounding is 6,500. I get it, but I just think we're so similar that it doesn't really give us a vision to try and show, okay, we really want to put a little more density down in this corner.
Right.
That's what I'm struggling to see.
And I certainly take your point, Tim, of why 8,000 is shown as the minimum there. But again, based on what we're hearing, we know that that's not what's going to end up in the area. And I would rather show what is realistically what we're trying to achieve and what we will get in that area, and not allow, because it says 8,000, for us down the road to then move away from that mark we were trying to hit here.
One thing that might be helpful for you is, these are great comments and we really appreciate them. Let me just remind you of a couple of things. First is, the entire project is 370 acres. The total number of units maxed out, now we may not be able to even ever build that, is 1,021. So if you kind of do that math, I mean, it's not gonna be the concern I think that a lot of people have with the density. And added to that is this issue we keep getting from the public when we've gone to the meetings. There's a lot of people who want to have a nicer, bigger home on a smaller lot. They don't want to maintain it. They're older, or they don't want to deal with a lot anymore. And so what we've tried to do in Pod 14 and 15 is give some flexibility for that. In other words, in order to meet the R21, we can only average 2 units. So while the minimum size says 8, you can do the math. We can't have very many 8s in there and make it work. So we have to bring you back. And by the way, all this has to come back to you guys for approval. So when we develop it, you're going to have another bite at this apple. This is just a preliminary approval. But what we're hearing is there are some people who would love to live in that area that really don't want to manage a big lot. They want to have a beautiful home. They want to live on that bluff, but they don't want to have this big lot. So they want to have a beautiful vista. So what this allows for is a few of those 8s or a few, you know what I mean? And then that way the whole rest can be the bigger lots. But you know you're protected because you can only do 2.
Agreed, but what you're describing on Pod 15 is the exact contrary to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Issue I have with 15 is you said it was senior living, which I can see some people having animal rights, but not all of them are going to want animals.
I think it'd be very few.
As well as the way you proposed it, is it's a master plan community, which pretty much means they don't own other than their other than their home, which just gives a bunch more open space, but it doesn't give the feel. And that's kind of what I'm trying to say, is that your description of that is really what's more in Pod 4 with a 4,000 square foot lot.
When I look at the different pods, you have a lot of well-planned out different density, different plans with it, but they're not in the right spots with what you're trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. And also, I voiced this last time, and I understand where you're coming from. It's down in there, pot 18, everything else. If directly south of that is supposed to be 1 acre lots, it's agricultural right now, later on, things like that, us buffering and transitioning into different densities, that would not be how we plan that.
Can we go back to that section slide?
And another thing is, if you look at it, with 15 and that one, those are similar type density, and a senior community across from maybe that is a little more in line. There's just areas that could be moved that makes it fit a little bit better than what I feel like is proposed.
I agree. I think if you went, as you went up pod 5 and 4 and had your higher density in that region with some type of buffer, I don't know how to do that around that L thing.
May I explain how?
But then transition to your senior in the pod 18, I think that might fit more of what you're describing.
On pod 18, the buffer between that and the ag property directly to our south is the road itself and the 30 feet of drop that we would create between the level of that development and that's at the level of Harriman Main Street.
I understand that. Are you planning to have a road that goes out onto Harriman Main Street from pod 18?
Say it again.
Are you planning to have a road that goes out from pod 18 to Harriman Main Street? The answer is probably yes.
There will be some access, just like Richard's driveway.
Sure.
It'll just go way down to access the building pads.
Sure. And some of the considerations that need to be taken in that I have to think about is, are we going to have 172 units driving out across the street with 25 units across the street from there?
There will be one that comes.
There's just thoughts like that I have to put in my mind also.
The way we've designed it is that there will be one that comes to Main Street as our secondary access, but there will be two going out to the north-south street, 6900 West.
I'm with Chris. I think pod 18 and the pod 15 are kind of in the odd spaces, and I think it fits more along the 4, 5, and 6 range in my mind. Understand the advantage of the views that you're trying to accomplish, but when you really look at master planning community, and Tim, you know this, buffering and transitioning between like products, we have to transition you to other phases that aren't your subdivision.
What if we made this modification to address just that? If we moved the product that we anticipated in pod 15, if we moved it down to the east, you know, where it's the lighter color there, and over by pod 4, 3, and 5, because it's a similar condition down there, and then we relegated pod 15 where it's the brown color and 14 with a minimum lot size of 10 and then going up, and that would accommodate the more animal rights and ease that transition.
I think that meets Mr. Berbertson, Mr. Jacobson's comments, right? In essence, we're conceding that we would move that retirement type product over into the area that's not the R21, over to the right, and then put a portion of it over in pod 4 to deal with those exact issues you guys just addressed. We'd keep the same densities, so it would give you the ability to have those animal rights over in 15, larger lots, and then we have those other products split between 4 and a portion of 13.
You've known me for a while, Tim. I'd want to see it with the buffer and transition. Understand what you're saying, but I would like to see, because you still have to protect that L piece of property as well.
Right, right.
So you're going to have some challenge to buffer that.
And the way,
but rather than just carte blanche saying, yeah, I think you're
the way
something
I,
similar to that fits more what I was looking for.
The way I see it, when we made that decision to go to R121 and consider animals, it kind of took it out of that gated community area, really, because they're not going to have animals, just like Clint said. But if we move them further east, and then we've got that same riparian condition down on the bottom of 4 and 5, down in there, we could put them along that same area just further east.
I think that would be transitioning and more in line with what we asked you last time, getting closer to the school.
Yes.
And then two other items. One of them, because I was one that mentioned with the master parks plan says that J connects down the park. It actually connects to the trail and everything down below. I understand where you're coming from. I understand the elevation changes or whatever's in that, the slopes and everything else. But I do think it makes sense to have a trail connecting the two that's a little more extensive. And maybe it's on there. I'm just not seeing it.
Yes. Can you see the bright red dashed lines that go
along
up?
The road?
No, along the trail system.
The big red and white lines or the big
red? Just the red dashed.
Can you point to those?
Gordon might have them.
Right there?
Is it the red and white dashed or just the red dashed through the green area? The red and white?
The red and white. And you see them going from west to east. There's a big one that comes up to pod 14 from the trail system. There's one just to the west of 7300 coming up to access that park.
Is that a roadway that's cutting them in pieces?
So they're just not connecting, but they are actually connecting. Maybe I'm missing it.
It comes up along the road to go over to that park.
So it is 7300 is the one that connects. So that's the only one that connects.
Okay. Does where the mouse is right now connect right there? Go back to what you just did, Gordon.
The corner of J.
Craig.
Oh, Craig, go do exactly what you just
did.
Way
to go, Craig. On the other side.
The corner of J.
Does those connect?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm missing. That's what I was...
And the other one connects... The one down by 73 connects. The ones that you see further east that come up from the trail, they come into those neighborhoods and they will connect back to the schools on that side.
So when you bring it back, can you show what you're kind of planning? We understand. We don't expect it to be your firm. And it looks like you've cut them for a roadway right there. I get it. But just we're simpletons. Just show it connecting.
And the whole idea is, if we're going to use this as a linear park, and if we want to reduce traffic around schools, give them a safe place to walk. Walk them east and west, but also walk them north and south so that they don't have to cross roads to get to schools.
And Tim, you actually head into my other, and I don't know, it's something that I think the city council is going to have to consider more, look at and everything else and work with the school districts and whatnot. But, and especially off of 6,000, this has become a major concern with all the schools there, the traffic, and a lot of problems that can and are being caused by that. And Providence Hall is another example of it. I'm starting to wonder if having schools next to each other is actually working in our community with the traffic. I like the concept. I drop my kid off at elementary school. I drop it off at middle school. But we're noticing a major concern. But Silvercrest, which doesn't have the roads that are as nice and as, I mean, they don't have problems as much.
One of the things that the school district has told us, and we've worked extensively with staff on this, this whole 129th South Street, the east-west road that runs in front of the schools, was explicitly put there as a capital road to serve both school pieces rather than the main north-south road to get the traffic off of those and coming in from neighborhoods, so it got it off of 6900 West. They love to co-locate, but they want distance between them, too. And they want them serviced by two roads, not one road.
Question. The middle school, just because it's a corner, have you talked to the school district about possibly switching pod 7 and pod 8 and pushing the middle school down in the corner?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of more what we're talking is that major two intersection. If you think of our Harriman High School, that's one of the challenges we're having is when they're along major frontages of land, of what? Two major roads. It gives so many options that traffic becomes near impossible to control.
I'll tell you the story here. Do you remember the older plan where the middle school and the elementary school were transposed? One of the efforts to to curtail the traffic issues was to trade places, to put the middle school on the east side and the elementary on the west. And it was done given their internal circulation and how it works in a middle school and how it works on the elementary school. So by their design standards, these were the safest places that they thought their schools could best survive.
I'm guessing what I'm trying to say is, do you think we could put pod 7 next to 6900 West? It still meets their intent and their design, it sounds like.
I'm wondering if, again, as noted on there, because of the 268-foot right-of-ways on two corners of that junior high, if that's one of the criteria that I'm hearing you talk about from the school district.
But if you look at all of our other middle schools, that's obviously not typical. I mean, they only have one access and not another one. So what I'm saying is that scenario is exactly what we're having happen in Harriman High, is because you start to get to, I get ease of their vehicle use, but we're talking about people dropping their kids off. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
And so by having so much frontage, you now have opened up to allow any vehicle to drop off anywhere that they want to, and the kid can walk across. And that is the thing that we're facing in our community. And so by pushing it down and only giving them one access, I think helps mitigate that.
Maybe what we could do, Adam, I know their preference. They've told us that over and over again. And their number one criteria is safety. But I think it's a site design issue. You know, if there wasn't a place to drop off and let a kid, I mean, if it was fenced, if it was walled, if it was...
We've tried that.
And it didn't work.
And Athlos, I required, that's why there's a fence around the whole thing, is to try and mitigate that. And we still have a problem with the high school and Athlos. But, and that's why we're going to talk to our council about getting a discussion with the district, school district going, is because this is a bigger issue, but...
This wasn't us that proposed these school sites like this.
And that's fair. That's fair. Why when I voice this, it sounds like it needs to be something that the council really considers and looks at and goes into.
I didn't understand. What
And that's why I voice this as something the council, I feel like, really needs to be looking at in regards to this particular development. Because I it's just me, but I was really thinking, growing up, how many schools were next to each other. I can't think of one. So at least where I grew up at. Just and so I don't remember having major traffic issues.
Just so you're aware, Chris, though, it's a pretty common thing. I mean, we're developing them all over the valley like this, and that's the way the school districts are.
Well, that's their new proposal, but if you go what Chris is saying is everywhere that, I mean, I've lived in this region for my entire life, the areas that don't have problems are when they're not that close. We're talking basically two homes away from each other is a huge impact for the future. I get it's more convenient for the school because they don't have to have somebody drive from A to B, but we're talking the long-term safety and flow of our roads. Which is now is what, I mean, to be honest, so you understand, our body, we have very little we can require on schools. So even the fence concept is very difficult for us to even require. So to be honest, the most ability I have for a school right now is to say switch pod 7 and 8, to be realistic, with the current standing.
The other reason we put these in was that's exactly where your master plan calls for them to be. So, I mean, you guys have... obviously, a prior council has made a lot of effort to decide that, and even your new plan that was just approved in September shows them here. So it's, I don't know how we deal with that in light of your old plan and your new plan. I mean, we can't just simply ignore
So that's that. Just one little concern. My bigger one is the other density, to be honest.
Adam, one of the beauties of this type of system, I think, is it allows us to make these changes. And it's not that I'm trying to be obstinate about these schools, it's just that we didn't place them, they did.
That's fair.
So
yeah, I understand.
Right. We understand that, trust me. We're just trying to face this challenge that's starting to come.
I mean, I brought it up in particular at this time that it's something that the council is really going to have to start looking at. And so, I mean, I can't change it with what you guys are doing, and I get that.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
Yeah, that move is ideal but not required. The other one about the density, moving it around and trying to show us more of a flavor of which pod means what rather than all fours and sixes is kind of what I'm more after from this meeting, to be honest.
I completely understand that. And with the addition of that R121 stuff, that changes things. That makes it different. And we have it fluid enough that we can do it and accommodate that.
To understand, make sure that we understand your issue, Adam, and Chris, I think you've mentioned this too. What you're saying is, think we can live with the densities, 1,021, but what you want to see is the product currently proposed for 15 moved over into a portion of 13 on that south side, or I'm sorry, on that east side, and then a portion of it in 4, which is simply could be done in 5 minutes with the computer because it's not changing densities, it's not changing anything. So our proposal would be we would seek a conditional approval with that condition, and you can do that tonight, and that would be changed before it goes to the council.
Agreed, except for you're not showing me how you're buffering against that current home.
Which one?
The L.
We met with those,
the
you
flag.
Know, your L-shaped.
Yeah,
those,
but you've,
those
you've,
sweet folks have been there at both meetings, and we've talked to them about it and assured them that we will buffer those areas with landscaping or fence or larger lots, whichever. When you come back with the design, again, remember, we're not in the design phase, but we've agreed to buffer. And so when we come back with your designs, you'll have that. You'll have all those buffers we've committed to give them. And actually, the neighbors are liking that because we're going to be dealing with some of the water flow through 5 and 6 that are actually troubling for them right now. So they're really pleased once we met with them about that. So in terms of your buffering, I think we've solved that. Now if we just move those two products, it's a simple computer.
It's more than that to me. I understand that's your perspective.
Okay.
One of the things that I think may help us too, the neighbors in that L-shaped property, they really don't like the creek in their backyard. It's steep, it's erodible. They wanted to participate in a solution with us right there in that corner where the creek wanders off Danzy property and is on theirs. So we've kind of committed to them that as we address the whole creek, if that's best to be moved and join our trail system rather than being interrupted by going off property, they're more than willing to look at that with us. But what we talked about is as adequately buffering them is open space, larger lots, and walls.
So I'd just like to see it on your plan for that area because it is, I understand we're going to get to the details of it when we get to pod 3's nitty gritty, but more trying to make sure that when you get to pod 3, you can successfully proceed right through.
Could we do it this way, Adam? It's important. Our timetable is very important to us. We would like to seek approval tonight. Can we come back to show you that while we proceed? We have one more neighborhood meeting. We'll be talking to those folks. We'd like to talk about it. Can we come back to the Planning Commission and show you?
I understand your timeline, but again, I'm just one voice, and I'm not comfortable right now.
I would like to see everything moved first.
Yeah, I'd like to see a finished product. Or not a finished product, but a more along lines of changing it in some of the recommendations, because part of our responsibility, I feel like, is trying to give recommendations that are more complete to the City Council so they can make better decisions. And I think it's a lot easier when it is more complete and we know what is going to them. So
would respectfully request then you just deny the application tonight, if you would please. And then we'll make those changes. We'll agree tonight on the record to make those changes, but would respectfully request that you deny the application.
Or forward a negative recommendation.
Your intent in doing that is so that it actually does move from this body to the council,
yeah.
Correct?
Correct, but with the changes that we have, that we've committed to on the record to do.
Okay, I've heard from most members of the Planning Commission. Anyone else want to voice their opinion?
Well, I agree with Adam and everyone else that we need to see it.
Okay, any other comments? Andrea, did you have?
So if we deny, then it just goes to the city council and we don't see it again? Or
right, correct. They want us to deny the recommendation.
That's why they're asking for
it. Goes straight to city council, and then the city council gets to make their recommendation.
I understand your request.
That's what they want us to do.
I can't make that motion myself, so. I know the motion that I am willing to make.
Additional comments by members of the Planning Commission.
May I make one request then, just before your motion, Adam, sorry?
Yes.
Can we get on the earliest number one slot of your next Planning Commission and bring you the changes?
I will tell that to Gordon.
Gordon can decide that one.
I understand I've wondered that before, is why it's always the same people getting stuck at the end. So it makes sense. Understand.
And I think that this body, again, just as a matter of procedure, I think this body could also make, obviously this is a legislative item, and that's the way our agendas are constructed, which I think is generally why these end. As a matter of procedure, this body does have the ability to reorder an agenda should they see fit to do so within a meeting. So that.
But I think just for public notice, I think Craig can keep this in mind that when this, assuming that that's the motion I'm going to make, approves, that this gets moved up. I understand the desire.
Could we also?
But apparently we have an attorney standing up.
I think you can reorder the agenda if you would like.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Jacobson, assuming you're going to go that route, while we respectfully reiterate, would love the other. If you do, can we stipulate that in your motion that it's only with regard to that one issue where we're relocating and we're not looking at a whole new review? It's like you said, it's going to be a quick review of that map.
I'll reiterate before I make my motion, because usually when you continue a motion, you don't say why all the details, but my concern is moving pod 15 and 18 to more along the creek channel on the 4-5, buffering around the flag lot. Do you understand what I mean there? And showing more difference between the different pods, so it's not just 6,000, 6,000, 6,000, 8. That's my intent, as well as up in 14, showing what you really can achieve, which is probably more like a 10,000 or 12,000 square foot lot. So that's all I will talk about, as well as I would ask that you just show your trails connecting. Yeah. Your trails.
That was the only thing for me.
Just
connect.
Just so we can see it. I honestly don't think we're going to talk about it, but it's right now I get that it's cut because you have a road going through there, but it's very confusing.
The only reason they don't extend is we don't have a subdivision layout to match.
Correct. But even if it's a simple line like you have going down along the other area, I just want to be able to pass that on to council that that's what we're talking about.
Not only should they extend, they should connect.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. So, to me,
I think that's a minor thing, yeah, because if you show they connect, it's going to connect in the final product. Right here, it's not even showing they connect.
It looks like they're connecting. I can see up above you where there's a little bit of a stub where you can see it. I'm just asking that when you bring it in, show the connection. And that is honestly the only issues that I see. Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought it to this level so we could get to this straightforward discussion. Unfortunately, sometimes it's just not the ability in my mind to just quickly make a decision without actually seeing the plan.
Understood.
So with that, I'd like to make a motion.
I will just make one comment is, again, I think it is a very fair request of the applicant that in terms of the items that we're talking about today, that if there are additional items of question, they need to be discussed right now, and that we need to be able as a body to be able to provide that feedback so that, again, they have the best opportunity to bring back a completed plan that's ready to move forward should it address all the concerns of this body, and that we don't in the next one move to a different issue and unnecessarily prolong the process. And I think that's a fair request.
Chair, I have nothing else to add to what I've said.
Okay. Is there any additional items of concern by any members of the Planning Commission prior to moving to a motion?
I guess the only other thing that I'm looking at, and I think maybe the other page addresses this, but if I look at the bottom left where it shows the density and the units and everything else, if the 1021
The R121.
You skipped too much on me now. But if the 1021, so the 1021 is the number without the schools, is that correct? And so if yes. I do that, I actually see a 3 units per acre. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, you.
I don't see 2.75. I see 3.
Well, if you take out the 1881 or the 1188, just then you're at 2.75.
Okay, so you're saying if
370 acres, 1,021 units.
And we're capped at 1,021.
That's the maximum.
Because I'm looking up here at 339.39 units. 1021 is the number we get. It actually equals 3 units per acre.
But the way you calculate, this city calculates density is the total acreage of 370.91 divided into 1021.
Schools aren't typically included in that.
Generally, it's part of the gross acreage.
Am I wrong with that?
We're not adding units.
Schools and commercial has never been included in that. Am I wrong there?
I'm not familiar that our city does it that way.
Your city?
I think it's excluded because we had this discussion with our last development related to commercial. It wasn't schools, but it was related to commercial.
Yeah, it was related to commercial. So the question is, does schools count the same like commercial does? Because if it doesn't, that number is actually 3 units per acre based on our calculations.
So we did the 339.39 times 2.75. It's really only 933 units.
Either way, the number that would change if you calculated it differently than total gross versus units, the number of units won't change. The 1021 is capped in the staff report and in the development agreement. And the only part that would change is if you excluded that 34.01 acres of schools, then we still meet the underlying zone restrictions of R121 and R150.
You're just closer to 2.9 is what you're saying. You're basically, bottom line is that you're proposing 121 units.
1,021.
1,021, sorry. Which I wish it was 121.
Which is more than 70 units less than those two zones allow. So we're not even seeking to max out those zones.
So if I understand the point being made here.
I just want to make sure I understood.
What I am seeing on this chart is that if, in fact, those two sites that are set aside for the school end up not going to schools, then the numbers in the parentheses we see on the chart would be a density range that would be allowed back in. Is that correct?
Correct.
So to your point, if, let's see, if you took the total acreage of the 370.91, just for sake of ease of conversation, and you times that by 3 units per acre, again, saying that the schools aren't constructed so that density does come back into play at 3 units per acre, that would put you at 1,112.
But if you just do backwards, 1,188 divided by 370.
Yeah, you could do that.
1,188 divided by 3,791 is 3.2.
Units per acre.
Units per acre.
And we couldn't achieve that with the zoning.
The caps won't let us get
there. I'm just wondering why the numbers are different than... Okay.
The way we figured it right now is we haven't counted any units for the school because it looks like that's pretty solid. So we've taken 0 units for the schools. We've taken the acreage because they don't yield any units, divided it into our 1021, and that's what our 2.75 recognizes. And that's our cap anyway.
And we've gone through that carefully with your staff to confirm that that's consistent with your ordinances.
So again, ultimately, certainly this body can make a recommendation as it relates to those numbers. Ultimately, obviously, this is going to go to the city council and as part of the development agreement to determine those final numbers. But this body could certainly make a recommendation if it felt like those calculations or those numbers needed to be different. I understand the point taken that that based on the zoning, you wouldn't be able to achieve those numbers. So there is obviously a little bit of, I guess, discrepancy in the way that it's shown on the chart and what ultimately could be achieved. So again, this body, if you want to see something different in terms of this moving forward to the next meeting, again, now would be the time to provide that feedback in terms of what this body, if it's different than what's shown here, of what this body would see.
If it's calculated like max. Commercial, that's the one thing that I wish Bryn was
if
here.
If you do take the 339 times the 2.75, it's only 933. It's not 1,021. The 370 times the 275 is the 1,021.
And I certainly get the explanation because it is anticipated those two schools will go there and will yield no density, and it is part of the overall development. So I certainly get the explanation there. Again, it would be up to this body again if they see something different or would like those denoted differently to be able to make that recommendation as this continues through the process.
Remember too, guys, those are max, or everyone, those are max.
Max.
I know.
Because
agreed. I think what we're trying to say is even though you're saying 2.75, we agree that your max is 1,021. What we're saying is that your density really is 3.0.
If
you achieve your max with the schools, that's what we're trying to get to is that's our concern is that the density really isn't 2.75. Because when you said 2.75, that it makes me happy. I'm good with that. Overall, that part, but the three makes me more uncomfortable. And so that's kind of where we're talking is the school, just like commercial, should be pulled out of that, and then you calculate your density. And that's what we're trying to say is it really is your gross density is closer to three. We had this discussion, like I said, and you could talk to our staff because I know they know because we went over it heavily. If you guys would have stayed at the last meeting longer, this is one of the biggest topics related to, but it was related to commercial, not schools. So I would just like to have it shown the way, and I would ask that maybe Gordon takes that to Bryn, our city planner, and ask that question because I think that's the thing we're talking by each other. I honestly don't know that I have a major heartburn. If you look at the 1,021 as a maximum cap, but I still kind of, me personally, I want to see the pods. I'm going to be honest, I will talk about pods, and if I see it still high at the next meeting, I might bring it up, the density overall. But that's why I want to see these pods and see that vision, is I'm not seeing it, so 1,021 is still making me have a harder time to swallow. That's why I'm recommending a continuation. But I don't know how the rest of you feel about the 1,021.
Comments on that? As it relates to this last issue brought up on the density itself?
I mean, just looking at previously what we've sort of done and how we've accounted for the numbers and things like that, if I remember correctly, schools are counted like commercial. And if that's the case, these numbers are inaccurate. Now, does it still fit within the guidelines of what they have? That's a whole different question. It does bother me sometimes when we have numbers that are not accounted for, at least how we look at them. So,
Gordon, and have you got this issue down so that you can continue to help identify and work through it, give it the clarity it needs? Okay. Any other points of discussion? Okay, seeing none, I would entertain a motion. Again, these are two separate items in front of us pertaining to the same parcel, so I'd need two motions for each item, 3.1 and 3.2.
I move to continue item 3.1 without date, and that's just so you can get, if you need to be delayed for any other reason, it's for your benefit, not for mine.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion to continue by Adam and a second by Chris. Any further discussion before we go call for the vote? Seeing none, we will call for the vote. Chris?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Andrea?
Yes.
That motion carries. We'll move on to item 3.2 then and entertain a motion as well.
Thank you for your patience and time.
Thank you for your patience and time.
And I know how much work it is, guys. I appreciate everything that was brought. And you guys are really close.
Motion on item 3.2.
To continue item 3.2.
Second.
So we have a motion by Adam and a second by Andrea. Call for the vote on this item. Andrea?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
And Chris?
Yes.
That motion carries as well. Before we finish up tonight, I do just want to express our thanks to the Danzy family, to those who are working on the project, to staff for all the time that has been put in on this item. It definitely is a big process, and we are, I think, all working ultimately towards the same vision and goal on this property, and we just want to make sure that we can really articulate that as we get there. But again, recognize that there is certainly a desire to move it forward. It is this body's job to make sure that that recommendation is as complete as possible in order to get it to the City Council and again, really capture the vision of that and get the development that we want and can all be proud of in this city, which I fully believe will happen with this project. So thank you very much for your time. Is there any additional comments to be made by members of the Planning Commission tonight? Okay, seeing none, just a review of our future meetings. Our next regularly scheduled City Council meeting will be next Wednesday, November the 8th at 7 p.m. With our next regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting will be held on November the 16th at 7 p.m. And we'll also add there is a planned joint work meeting between Planning Commission and City Council scheduled for November the 30th. So we'll add that as well. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion to adjourn by Jessica.
Second.
Second by Robin. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Didn't think so, so we are adjourned.